The U.S. Department of Education released a warning to the Connecticut Technical Education Career System, claiming that it responded inaccurately to assault allegations against school staff. So now that statewide school system is one of 20 across the country under a federal investigation, suspecting of teachers and other school employees accused of sexual misconduct to be transferred to other schools. They call it passing the trash, which is actually something that we have referred to even here in Connecticut. In fact, this past legislative session, there was a real effort to pass a House bill to cut down on basically teachers that do bad things, flying under the radar, being hired by another district because they were never convicted of a sexual assault crime against a student. And so I wanted to talk about this from a legal standpoint. And to be clear, attorney Bill Bloss is our legal expert on the show. I want to make sure people know he has absolutely nothing to do with any local state lawsuits of this sort. He is obviously not involved in this federal investigation. And I don't even know if Bill works in any sort of a realm, if you will, with victims of child sexual assaults in schools. I don't want to speak for him, but he's a smart guy. He totally understands these things. And I know he's been following this case as well. And so I wanted to get his perspective on this. And he joins us back on the show. Bill, thank you so much. I know this is an uncomfortable one, but I definitely wanted to kind of pick your brain on it.
No, happy to offer whatever I can.
So I know there was an attorney that is actually mentioned in this story who does represent victims of child sexual assaults in schools and basically called this, you know, a paramount finding, essentially. These investigations, one of 20 across the country. This is not something we can take lightly. I mean, this is a complete failure is what this attorney was saying. I wanted to get kind of your legal take on this. And again, you're talking about kids being the victims here, potential victims. So I know it's very touchy and there's a lot of red tape with it. But what can you kind of, you know, share with us from your perspective?
Well, so there are a couple of things that jumped out at me in looking at the notice that was sent to the state. And these, just for your listeners, Melissa, these are the technical high schools. The state of Connecticut runs a series of technical high schools around the state. One's in Bridgeport, Bullard Havens, or there are a couple in Danbury, Stamford, all over. And they're alternatives to other high schools. Now, the allegation, there are two different allegations that I've seen. The notice itself, it seems like it's more of a paperwork issue than something else. It says it has a declarative statement. It says, due to the district's inaccurate responses to the rape and or sexual assault data elements involving allegations against school staff in a particular report, that makes it seem like there was an incident that the state did not report to the Department of Education. And that could be either an oversight or it could be intentional. Don't know. But in the secretary, Linda McMahon, yesterday in announcing these investigations, referred to what you said, and that is, were teachers transferred between schools to avoid bigger problems? If that's the case, that's to use a not legal term, it's really bad.
Mm.
That certainly got several archdioceses in trouble in years past. Any district that does that is going to be it's just a terrible idea. And I thought we were past that, frankly, in Connecticut. And I hope we are.
So it's interesting, Bill, because when this first came up, I don't want to say I was totally shocked. I mean, first of all, you know, to your point, there are over a dozen technical schools across the state. We've got, you know, one right here down the street, actually, from us at Connoisseur Media. We got Platt Tech here in Milford. There's one in Stratford, Stamford, Ansonia, Bridgeport. They're all over. You're correct. And so I don't even know exactly either what school or if this was a systems thing, if this was a reporting thing. I don't know. But what I can tell you is the reason I wasn't shocked about this, the thing I was shocked about is that this kind of seemed like this national phenomenon or this bombshell. And the reason I say that is because in this past legislative session, there was an effort, and to my understanding, it did pass. I believe it went into effect immediately. House Bill 5327, an act authorizing the disclosure of an open investigation of abuse or neglect or sexual misconduct in hiring processes of school employees. This all started, at least here in Connecticut, because of a hiring that happened in November of last year, this past school year, in Darien. I don't know if you heard about that situation. I would imagine you did. But it was a Darien school teacher, again, accused of sexual misconduct with a student. But he had previously been in three other school districts, one of which he was arrested for the same thing. But the charges got dropped because of good behavior. So he was never convicted. And the whole thing is kind of, again, I think, you know, not to make a big thing out of maybe a small group of people, but we have heard about it from the public school sector in Connecticut. Again, maybe a handful of cases, but it is something that exists. So I was honestly more shocked at people's responses being so shocked about this coming up from a federal level.
Yeah, again, it's really hard to know exactly what the genesis of it is. I'm gonna give you a little bit of speculation here. It refers to a report, an incomplete report in 2023 and 2024 that the state filed. There was actually a criminal conviction of a technical high school teacher in 2023, and he went to prison. And up in Danbury was that case. And
yes, I remember that. Yep.
I wonder if it has to do with that. Regardless, it's opening the door to something that's serious, obviously, and because they're not just going to be examining paperwork, but they're going to be examining what not only is data collected accurately, but also what are the programs and what are the policies that the state has to prevent sexual misconduct by staff against students, or by students against students, for that matter.
We've got attorney Bill Bloss here, who is our legal expert on the show. Again, we are talking about this federal investigation right now in regards to Connecticut Technical Education and Career System. This, again, is an umbrella of technical schools across Connecticut. There's more than a dozen of them listed. Many of them, I shouldn't say many, but a handful of them are actually right here in our listening area. We've got Bridgeport, Stratford, Stamford, Milford, Ansonia, just to name a few on the list. And it is actually one of 20 school systems being investigated for, it says, inaccurately reporting assault allegations against school staff or responding to them appropriately. According to the U.S. Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, these school systems are suspected of, quote, passing the trash, end quote, or allowing teachers and other school employees accused of sexual misconduct to transfer to other schools. So, Bill, I was looking because, again, as I mentioned before, the situation that happened in Darien earlier this school year prompted Representative Tracy Mara to work with the superintendent there. She crafted legislation, and in some regard, it actually, I can remember now, it lumped into this massive education bill, essentially, that did get overwhelming bipartisan support. And it just starts to close some of the loopholes, if you will, about letting other school districts know, hey, if you have a teacher who's been investigated for sexual misconduct, even if they weren't convicted, now you have to tell those school districts. Like, it's required now. There's just more kind of closing the gaps. The thing that kind of gave me pause, though, is this, you know, you can only go so far with a law, and I'd love to get your take on it. You can only go so far with a law kind of keeping under the radar teachers above the radar, because I mean, you could kind of speak to this. There needs to be some protections in place, though, for the teachers who are wrongfully accused of sexual misconduct, whether it's because of cancel culture or whether it's because of a disgruntled student who's upset about, you know, not making a sports team. And again, I'm just making up scenarios, but there's a gray area with this. It's not so black and white. You want to protect students, obviously. That's the main goal. But to have all-out laws that say, hey, if you've been accused of this, that's on your record, I mean, that could destroy a teacher's reputation, and they may not have done anything necessarily wrong. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, you're right. It's very much a two-edged sword. Your number one priority has to be protecting kids, and it has to be, you know, any allegation of sexual misconduct has to be taken seriously, has to be investigated thoroughly. And hopefully the right decision is arrived at. There's a finding that's supported by the evidence one way or the other. You would hope that if there is a false allegation, that even if a hiring superintendent was aware of it, wouldn't necessarily be held against the person if it was proven demonstrably false. I think that's hopeful, but I'm not sure how realistic it is. I wonder if all other things being equal, if you're a hiring superintendent, are you going to take a risk on somebody who had an allegation made against him or her or the other person who didn't? It's a tough, very tough call.
Right? I mean, I think that's the best way you can put it. And I'm just so glad I'm not the only one sitting here puzzled. And look, I'm a parent of a third grader. So I get it from a, you know, my kid's safety and well-being is number one. I mean, I would kill for my kid. So I am not discrediting that students have to be the number one priority here. With that being said, though, two things can be true at the same time. And we do live in a culture right now where it is very easy. Social media can be very powerful and very dangerous. Where you're going to do the right thing. And again, the right thing might on the surface be the right call. But what does that mean down the road if, in fact, it wasn't vetted properly? Or even if you were investigated and you find out, hey, this actually wasn't a situation of that, you know, and you cooperated and all that. I mean, let's be honest. How many school districts, if you're even accused of it, even if it was a wrongful accusation, are going to even look at your resume?
Well, that's the tough call, right? And if all other things are equal, and you've got two candidates, and one of them has had an allegation and one of them hasn't, even though the allegation is not proved to be accurate.
You're going with the one with the clean record. Absolutely.
It certainly would be tempting to do that. You know, you'd like to think that there would be enough trust in the process that if somebody is accused but is found not to have engaged in the conduct, that there would be, you know, a mature, responsible look at it and say, okay, well, we trust that process and we are not going to have a thumb on the scale against that person. But I don't know how realistic that is.
Right. Well, and look, and then there's the other side of it, right? There's the other side of it where you've got victims who do come forward. You know, let's take the situation in Bethany, Connecticut, where you have a worker in the public schools who there were plenty of accusations, legitimate accusations that came forward about this person. And it was proven because he knew the first elect person of the town. It was all swept under the rug. And not only was he moved without any kind of punishment, he was moved to now work for the Parks and Recs department and continue abusing kids. I mean, so there's the other side of it, right? Which is, how do we have faith in the system that, you know, we also take victims' accusations seriously? I mean, again, this should not be a black and white thing. I really think there's a lot of gray area with this. And it can be dangerous, especially in a time where we need teachers, right? We need teachers. Sure. We got a teacher shortage. And so you could see where maybe people fly under the radar. And that's not okay either. That's more than not okay. You know, for bus drivers, teachers, what have you. I mean, where's sort of your sense with the faith in that process as well?
Well, it relies very heavily on the good faith of everybody involved as decision makers. Mm-hmm. And that good faith is present sometimes, I think, and most times, frankly. I think any superintendent of schools that I've had any dealings with would take an allegation of sexual abuse or sexual assault exceedingly seriously. I can't imagine anybody that I've ever dealt with sweeping it under the rug. On the other hand, you know, what happened in Bethany, I guess, you know, from what I'm not involved in the case, but apparently it happened, and that's inexcusable. Mm. It relies on people of good faith making reasonable, rational decisions, balancing the right to be free from any kind of sexual assault or sexual abuse against the right to not be to be found liable for that only when the person did it. And those are in tension. They are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough topic. And I so appreciate you even diving into it with us. Attorney Bill Bloss, again, who has nothing to do with this massive investigation by the U.S. Department of Education and looking into now Connecticut Technical Education and Career System, one of 20 school systems across the country for suspected allowance of teachers and other school employees accused of sexual misconduct to transfer to other schools. We appreciate you weighing in on the conversation and giving us some legal perspective on this bill. Thank you so much.